sent from his throne above. He came to change his world through love. He came humbly, he came to serve. He'll come again to rule this earth. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. And hallelujah, the Lord has come. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. Emmanuel, our God is with us.
You're listening to Thursday Night Live at Calvary Chapel St. Paul. Calvary Chapel St. Paul is a fellowship of believers committed to a fourfold style of ministry. We seek to reach, teach, mend, and send. Each Thursday Night Live service involves a time of intimate worship, an in-depth study of God's Word, and a time of afterglow and leading of the Holy Spirit. And now, here is Thursday Night Live.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. We're going to be in the... Open up your Bibles to Galatians, to the book of Galatians.
Hopefully the fix for the church emails has been fixed. So for those of you who are not getting emails because you're on Gmail or Yahoo, hopefully that has been fixed. If you did not get one or two emails this week that I sent out for information, then hopefully you will get the ones in the future. But Matt Gross, right there. That's Matt Gross right there. All right? I'm not calling him Gross. That's actually his last name. All right? So CKC, you guys, that C, give me a C.
C.
What's that for?
Calvary.
Give me a K.
K.
What's that set for?
K.
An L, C.
Club.
And that is? Calvary Kids Club. Calvary Kids Club. All right. So our Aviation Day, May 11th, is postponed. But we're going to send an email out. We're going to have a progressive aviation. So talk more after service and stuff because we got people watching. So, but it's only for CKC. So stick around. I got some information for you there for those who are in CKC. And so if you didn't get that email, so I'll get that. But there's some things coming up. The man's been watching us, man. The man. Never met the man, but he's around, all right? Government's around. All right. Hey, turn with me your Bibles to Galatians, and we're going to be in chapter 6, but we're going to start at chapter 1. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening that we can come to you and find out more about you and your word and how much you love us. And then we can just turn around, take that same love, and share it with others. So we just praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the first time that I'm finishing the New Testament this way. Normally, I do Old Testament on Thursday nights, and I teach from the New Testament on Sundays. About every 3 or 4 years, I switch it up, and I'll do the Old Testament on Sunday mornings, and then I'll do the New Testament on Thursdays. But I finished the Old Testament, and so we've already been going through the Gospels, and so now we're cruising through Acts. But then I started at Jude. I'm going to save the book of Revelation for October. And I'm just working my way back. So I'm going forward on Sundays through the book of Acts, and then I'm working my way book by book, and so we'll see where we meet. But it is interesting because I'm just not that bright. I don't know if you know this or not. Some of you have a high expectations of me. I just want to manage expectations of me. I'm really not that bright, and I really can't work these things out. But we happen to be in the book of Galatians, and we have issues with the Apostle Paul in Acts chapters 21 and 22. So, if you're not familiar with what's happening with the Apostle Paul on Sunday morning, so Acts 21, well, it's interesting because the Galatians was written around 48, 49 A.D. And Acts chapter 15 happened around 41 or 42 A.D. And so that was the thing that Judaizers were showing up. And those are Jews who became believers who were going around saying that you needed to be circumcised if you're a male. And you first have to become a Jew, then you can become a Christian. And that whole system is done away with. Now, you and I know that because the temple in Jerusalem still to this day does not exist. And it will not exist until the tribulation period, which you and I get an exit out of here when it comes to that. Well, for those of you who are children of God, and not everyone who's been born is a child of God, because you know John chapter 1 says only those who've received him, he then gives them the right to be called children of God. So for those of us who are born again, for those of us who have that relationship with God that Jesus paid the price for, we get raptured, we get out of here, and we don't go through that tribulation period. And again, we'll start the book of Revelation in October. But that whole seven-year tribulation period is dealing with God completing his work with the nation of Israel and anyone else who happens to be around on the planet Earth at that time. But the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. So if God intended that people needed to first become Jews and then they become Christians after that, well, didn't he know? Didn't God know that the temple was going to be destroyed? Catch the sarcasm. Yes, he did. Because in the Gospels, as we finished up, he said, it's going to be destroyed. And you know the disciples did not get it because they said to one another, what do you think that means? He said, not one stone will be left upon another. It will be torn down. For those of us that you've been to Israel with me, we've seen the actual stones that were pushed off the Temple Mount area that are still surrounded the Temple Mount area in the old city of Jerusalem. The very same ones the Romans had destroyed in 70 AD. So there wasn't going to be a continuation. There wasn't going to be a temple where they could offer sacrifice and where they could offer up on the Day of Atonement once a year. So the Judaism as they knew it was going to cease to exist because God completed. Now listen, we call it the Old Testament, but it's the Old Covenant. That's what a testament is. It's a covenant. And it was fulfilled by the one perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ. That's why he's known as the Lamb that is slain. I know last week the slide said slain when we were singing the worship, but we've got that fixed now. It's slain. He's the Lamb that was slain, not slain. Got that one? We're pretty sure that's fixed, right, Caleb? It will be now. All right, so, because if not, man, you owe me royalties. But the thing that it is comes down to, that So get the timing this is going to help us as we get into Acts 22 this Sunday. But Paul wrote them things in 49 AD. So in 41, 42 AD is Acts chapter 15. Now we just read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, but Acts spans over 30 years of time. And so Acts chapter 15, if you want to put a note there, that's around 41, 42 AD. They had gone back because the Judaizers are saying, oh, well, we're from Jerusalem. And Paul, he's like, well, I know Peter, James, and John. I know James, the reputed pillar in the church. I know these guys, and I don't think they would say that. So what? You know what? Let's all go back to Jerusalem. And if people really have to become Jews, then they can be Christians. But they're already been baptized. They've already accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You mean they're not Christians? So they go back and Acts chapter 15 happens. And then they're like, you know, Paul, you're called to the Gentiles, which is an interesting thing here. You're called to the heathen, you're called to the Gentiles. I know we had issues with you, and he explains that in Galatians. When he came to him, says, I'm called to the heathen. And at that time, they weren't reaching out to the non-Jews, to Gentiles. And so you're kind of crazy, you go away. And he did. And so it was only later, some 15 years after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ, that they just kind of stumbled into the Gentiles through Acts chapter 10 when Peter goes, I guess in John, when Jesus said, for God so loved the world that all those who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I guess all means, Again, I might be a little light tone and Peter might have words with me when we get to heaven, but until now, you know, I got the mic. So, so here, Paul, in 48, 49 AD, writes this letter to the Galatians. But Acts chapter 21 and 22 happens around 57, 58 AD. So let's look This is again, many would say, well, Paul, and I'll get to Acts 22 on Sunday, but that everything he did was directed to the Lord. No, he pretty much points some things out. No, that's not the Lord. That's not the Lord. And so here, he says here in verse 6 of chapter 1 of Galatians, quick review, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel, gospel meaning good news, of Christ, the good news that you are saved from hell, you are saved from utter damnation, and that Jesus first loved us, not that we loved him, and he paid that price for you and I. He says you're so easily removed, because remember, he came back after Acts chapter 15, and he went to all the Gentile churches, that which he was called to start and to plant, via through the ministry out of the church of Antioch, of Gentiles there. And so he goes on and says, listen, and again, chapter 21 of the book of Acts, we have verse 25. In fact, go with me here. Go to Acts 21. And this is what was a continuation of Sunday, will be a continuation. We knew what they were calling him to do. There was a tinge there. I know what we're asking you to do, Paul. This is in 57, 58 AD. I know, follow us, but there's no, thus saith the Spirit. There's no, the Spirit showed me this. I got a word from the Lord. Do this. And look at this. Verse 25. As touching the Gentiles, which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols and from blood and from the strangled and from fornication. So they throw it in there in Acts 21 that, yeah, we know we're asking you to do. And so here Paul says, how are you so easily removed? And then he tells us here, verse 11, but I certify to you, chapter 1, brethren, that the gospel which was preached unto me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when people tell you, oh, man wrote the Bible, no. No, you can't get this many guys together and they write over a 1,500-year time span, 40 books of the Bible, or 66 books of the Bible, 39 Old Testament, 27, you know, New Testament, and then they all say the same thing from Genesis to Revelation. You see the continuity, you see the Holy Spirit wrote this. In fact, it even tells us that in 2 Timothy 3:16, that the Scripture is God-breathed. So don't let's say... I always point to people and they say, oh, man wrote the Bible. Show me where. If man wrote the Bible, there would be contradictions. Oh, there's a lot of contradictions in the Bible. Show me. They never can they? They're just, I said, ah, what? What? Little parrot squawking when someone else told you. Do you know how ignorant you sound? Or in my neighborhood, ignorant. Show me a contradiction. And they're like, whoa. Okay, so he says it wasn't from man. Verse 13, for you have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion, and how beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, look at verse 16, to reveal his son in me that I might preach among the Jews? What is it? Infidels, heathens, the Gentiles. Get different translations here. Immediately I conferred with all the apostles. What did he say here? I immediately conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which are apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again in Damascus. Then after 3 years, and let's go to chapter 2. In chapter 2, he tells us here in verse 1, then 14 years after his conversion, he went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me. And again, this is that Acts chapter 15 experience. Again, where they said, okay, get it. We got it. So, and all those Judaizers are like, they're zealous. They're zealous for the law. They're zealous for Jesus, but they're keeping the law and doing these things. And you know, so he's like, hey, look at verse 16 of chapter 2. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. These are these traditions. Go with me to chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? The only thing I learn that I would learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He tells us here in verse 11 of chapter 3, but no man is justified by the law. In the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. He went through a lot of hassles to get all the way back there in 41, 42 AD to the Acts chapter 15 encounter. Went through a lot of things. He had to trust that Peter, James, and John, they knew this was all by faith. They knew all this stuff, and it's not by, you know, the works of the flesh. It's not keeping the law. Verse 13 of Galatians 3 says, but Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree. He tells us this over and over again. You go to chapter 4. He says here, and again, remember in 41, 42 AD, so around 42, 43 AD, he makes it back to Galatia and he makes it around to the other Gentile churches. And he says, look, from all these Judaizers, I know you feel like you've become a Christian and now you've got to do something and you feel justified and good that, you know, you're doing something, but you could do nothing for salvation. You could not earn it. You can't keep it. You just have it. It's yours. Because of the faith, not our faith, because of the faith of one Jesus Christ. So he tells them here in verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul calls it out. He tells us here in Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6 and verse 17, it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Do I wound you by telling you the truth? Have I now become the enemy? Because I'm telling you, all these things that it's by grace you have been saved. It's because he first loved us, we come after him. And then in chapter 5, as last week, stand fast, therefore, verse 1, in the liberty with which Christ hath made us free, and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This tradition, this religion, this Judaism. And the Judaism that they're even practicing isn't even Mosaic, isn't even Moses Judaism. It doesn't even go all the way back to the Mount Sinai, which was just simply the Ten Commandments and then 613 literal laws that were all meant to preserve us. I mean, one of the things that the Jews, because they kept to a lot of the cleanliness laws, during the plague of syphilis, there in jolly old, merry old England, I think it was the 10th or 11th century, where people are dying from the plague of syphilis because the water's polluted. Why is the water polluted? Because you're defecating in the water that you're drinking, doing your laundry, and you're bringing it all up. And you think, well, I peed here, and I did this, and it went downriver. Well, what do you think the people upriver did? You think you're the only one doing that in the river? And so people weren't washing themselves because the water was dirty. And so therefore, after, you know, sexual intercourse, they weren't cleaning themselves. And so syphilis was a breakout and people are dying. But the Jewish community that was there in the Middle Ages there and there in England and Europe, they kept to the cleanliness laws. I mean, one of the laws of the 613 laws is don't eliminate your waste in your drinking water. In fact, it tells us when they were camping in the wilderness to go outside the camp and how to bury what we might call a cat hole. I think cats should go in them, but how you dig it and go down and put it in there. That's what I thought a cat hole was. But then I read the Bible, found out something else. And this is what you do. Honestly, I really thought you put cats in that cat hole. Anyway, so, and you bury it out there. Not to be crude, but it is funny. There's also a law that when your wife or your daughter is having her time of month, she needs to go outside the camp. Can I get an amen, brothers? All right, yeah, all right. You're going to pay for that, by the way. Kimberly's not here. I don't think she's watching. But all right, you know, there's a reason, you know. And I think if women want to fight in the military, there should be a menstrual cycle battalion. And that once a month, to send them out to the enemy, they will surrender. That's just the way that I think, all right? All right. I can direct you to other churches, to other pastors and stuff. But it's just, pray that Kimberly gets better and she'll start attending church again with me. All right, she's sick. There's no filter tonight. Okay, so. And so here, he says, then he tells us here in verse 16, then I say, then walk in the Spirit. It means walk with the Spirit. It's the same way. You got kids or you're leading anybody. You're like, just, where are we going? Just stay with me. That's all you got to know, man. That's how I raise my kids. That's how I lead. Just stay with me. Stay in step with me and you'll get to where we're going. You know, they're like, well, Dad, are we lost? No, we're on an adventure. And we're making good time. But I've never been lost. All right? And so there we go. So stay in step. Stay in step with the Spirit. For the flesh, verse 17, lusteth against the Spirit. Brother, can I get an amen, brothers and sisters? Am I the only one who knows this? Paul's going to further develop this in Romans chapter 7. But thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit led him to write Romans 8, 1. So just don't end at the end of chapter 7. Kind of depressing. And now this brings us to chapter 6. So have all this in your heart and mind and read ahead in chapter 22 of Acts to see where I'm going to go on Sunday. And you come up with your own conclusions. And so here, so Paul wrote this in 48, 49 AD, around there. However, you know, the mail system, I guess, you know, wasn't doing too well there, but it got to them. And what's happened in Acts 21 and 22 is 57, 58 AD. So Paul writes this. What's going on in Acts 21 and 22? If this is how Paul believed, this is everything that he's done and what he's done. So listen, and here's chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, which ye are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thy also be tempted. What did they do in Acts chapter 21 with Paul? They said they pleaded with him. They said, this is what the Spirit's showing us. He says, Paul says, I'm going. He's the leader of the group. So what do they say? The Lord's will be done. That's the Christian version of like, nah, nothing we can say to this guy. Just, hey, the Lord's will be done. What's going to be the Lord's will? Well, we're going to find out what it turns into in Acts chapter 22. But the Lord's will be done. And so it's either God, Satan, or the flesh. It's as I was with NYG, with the Not Youth Group last night, and just going through and giving them, reading through this and reading through Acts 21 and 22. And one of the young men says, it looks like Paul, who wrote most of the verses used in the suggested biblical decision-making approach, says, I think he didn't do number 9. Or he just, so if you know, you're familiar with the biblical decision-making approach, I think the last one, number 11, I just don't think he did that. And I go, well, I'm not telling you what to think, but that's what it looks like to me. The very same verses Paul is giving to us. So we should learn from that, that even a guy like Paul. So don't fault yourself that you're a knucklehead like me, because my body's full of scars. And I got some application for you on Sunday for that. But brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, which ye are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Where does it say to go rat him out and be a narc and tell the pastor on and be the sin police? When is it? Whenever someone's like reporting to me someone else's sin, my response to them is, well, what about you? Huh, what? Well, I'm sure you're a sinner. Sinning, doesn't make us sinners. We sin because we are sinners. But what about you? Well, great, so-and-so did this to you, but what was your response? Was it like Jesus? Can you be justified in the flesh? So we're to bear one another's burdens. So someone's weak. Someone, just maybe they're just not going to grow. Maybe they're just not going to grasp it. Maybe they just don't have all the wisdom and understanding that you have. Note the sarcasm. Well, then, first, how are you bearing their burdens? Now, me, being the pastor of the church, people come to me with all types of questions. I kind of do this in reversal. I go, are you making more work for me? Did I not delegate this? Why are you talking to me? Well, I just figured, you know, you're whatever. People, I've already delegated it. When it's done, the person I delegated to will come to me. And he'll let me know. But I'm not going to get involved in this process. It's already been delegated. Why are you trying to make more work for me? I have enough sin in my own life that I got to deal with. I'm walking my own walk with the Lord. There's other things that I need to be doing. And because of, I believe, of good delegation and leadership, I'm able to visit our brother Bill in the hospital every other day. Oh, by the way, does anyone have a recipe? You're a really good cook. I'm not mentioning any names, Jenna. But can anyone make cream of mushroom soup? Bill, who his legs have been amputated, all he would like, Jenna, or anybody else, is cream of mushroom soup. Not in a can. That's Nick's idea. I'm really going to have to pay royalties on this one. But does anyone have... And he says, nothing too spicy. It's cream of mushroom soup. I might as well bring you a loaf of Wonder Bread and a jar of mayonnaise. I mean, you're just... can you get any more whiter? He's like, oh, yeah, I guess... okay, you know, I can bring you some Frank's hot sauce if you want to put it in it. Cream of mushroom soup. I'm going to go visit Bill, and he wants cream of mushroom soup. I don't know why, when you get your legs cut off, you crave cream of mushroom soup, but Bill would like cream. He's been craving a lot of things, so I guess losing your legs means you crave all types of things there. Couldn't somebody make cream of mushroom soup for a double amputee? Couldn't somebody? All right. Twist it. All right. If not, I'm going to bring him a can. Help Brother Bill out. But this is it, bearing one another's burdens. And if you're doing these and these things, then for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Man, that's just what it comes down to, self-deception. I mean, I'm just right there. But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Do the work as unto the Lord. Do this. Again, I've shared this story before, and this is why I have to preface it, and sometimes I have to train people. I said, listen, if you're doing work on church facilities or you're doing ministry or doing something like that, just think about it like it's a paying job. Would anyone rehire you or bring you back, or would they fire you in the middle of it? You know, why aren't you treating it? And I told this one guy, and this one brother, I just said, do it like you do the work in your own house. And after a couple of years, I mean, in my heart, I was just like, oh, this brother, he's just sloppy. Ed, quit laughing. You know what I'm talking about. And so finally, my heart, I mean, I was really getting a hard heart. And then finally, I go over to their house, and he did a lot of remodeling. He was a horrible carpenter. Horrible. So he was building things for the church exactly as he did in his home. And after that, I was like, oh, bless his heart. Okay, this guy was really, really, and I'd go out, there wasn't a square plumb thing in that guy's house, man, and I'm like, jams missing, I mean, every time I was like, okay, this guy was exactly, I think if he did better work, his wife might complain, how can he do better work, so then I learned, okay, maybe, what's their skill set? Okay, maybe they don't. And so then maybe I just can't assume. Maybe I got to help them. Do you know what it means to put down a drop cloth first? Do you know what it means to do this first? Have you, you know, and all the stuff like that. When I see somebody says, yeah, I can do cut in when it comes to painting, and they show up with a 6-inch wide brush. I don't. Maybe you can cut in, a building. No, we're not doing stucco here. So listen, so at that point, someone might have a deficit when it might come to skills, abilities, or when it comes to, again, walking with the Lord. You know, it running late today, or I mean, I got here in time for service, but just had one of those. I'm just going to give you a ghost story tonight. What kind of ghost story? Holy Ghost story. Okay, and I had no intention of after my appointments and things that I was doing and to go home. I was just running, and I, for whatever reason, I just decided to go home. And just going to take a few minutes, and then the door knock. There's knocking at the door. The first thing you want to do is get the gun. Who's knocking at the door? Who wants, you know, oh, company. Okay. But and Kimberly goes, oh, those are those door-to-door salespeople who came by. I told them, you know, you'll be home later. I'm like, you know, week. And there they are, and I invite them in. And I ended up getting the product that I wanted, but it was an easy thing. You know, they're like, they're trying to make a sale. Well, I heard you're a pastor. I heard you're this. And I said like that. And I just started sharing the Lord with them. And then the one training, the young girl, I told her they might be listening tonight. And I said, well, he's training her. And they're both in their 20s, they're young kids. And she goes, you know, I go to church. You know, I just started going to, and she's talked insider lingo. I started to go to church and it's been changing my life. And then the other kid's like, oh, I've been going to church too. I mean, just on Sundays. And then she's looking at him, I'm looking at him. Okay, so then I just said, okay, I see I have an appointment here. And just started sharing with her. And we're doing stuff online, setting the things up and accounts and things and just having conversations. She goes, well, can I ask you a question? She goes, yeah. I'm really afraid about, I mean, what's this whole thing? I mean, you know, to be with the Lord. And what, I mean, is he really going to come back for us? Why, yes, he is. I was able to take her to Revelation chapter 20 and show her about the books and those whose names are in the Lamb Book of Life, and they're going to go to heaven. And then I said, that's the whole thing. They were Latino. I said, what is your name? And I said, my name is Chick. And they go, Chick. And I go, Pollito. Oh, Pollito, you know. And they started talking Spanish. You know what we're saying? And I go, I got that. How do you? And I said, I'm Greek. Well, how do you know? Well, I grew up in a barrio. And I pronounced it properly. So we're okay. Come on in, you know, and talking to them and making that connection. And just, we had an hour long Bible study. So I'm filling out paperwork and just took her all the way to 2 Thessalonians about the rapture of the church. And I said, now in English, it says that we will be caught up in the air. Jesus will come and get us and we will be caught up in the air. This word right here is where from the Latin Bible is the Vulgate, is the rapture. And she goes, yeah. And she said it in Spanish. Yeah, yeah, I know what that means, the rapture. That's what it means. That's how you say it in Spanish, in Espanol. And he goes, she goes, yeah. And she goes, that means to be caught up. And she goes, yeah. And the other kid is from Brazil, I think, and just sharing with them. But I could sense something in the Holy Ghost since they started asking me, and I'm sharing, obviously, personal witness training and sharing the Lord with them. And I could just see she was burdened on some things. And then, you know, studying the book of Galatians, it's about the grace of God. You know, it's not about works. You know, I had to show them in the Bible there, your deeds, you'll be judged by all your deeds, by those books. Many books will be opened and all those who stand before will be judged by those books and all your deeds. And he goes, what do you mean? Deeds. What are the books? That's like your ledger, your records, all the things you've ever done. I kind of saw a little panic come over his face there. But I looked at her. I just ministered to her. I said, but look what it says right here. It says here in John 5:24 that all those who received him, saving the Lord, they've crossed over from death to life. And they're not going to be judged. And I just show her point after point after point. And I showed her about the tribulation. I showed her in Thessalonians. Just an hour-long Bible study. An hour-long doing this whole thing I'm talking. There's nothing they needed to sell me on. I've been waiting for this product to come to my neighborhood. And it finally had come to my neighborhood and I'm buying this product. So there was no selling. I said, hey, so they weren't, it went from like, oh, let's try to connect with this guy and, you know, be friendly and make a sale. The sale was already done. I'm like, oh, you're here. You finally, come on in. I want to sign up. I already researched. I already know what I want. And they're like, okay. So all the time they would have spent, you know, trying to flatter me and all that kind of stuff doesn't work anyways. I used that hour that they had there and I just ministered. And then it just got down to this, and I'll move on from here. And just, I always ask God for fresh illumination and revelation. And he gives it, and he gave it to me today. And it's just preparing for Galatians about this whole thing about the grace of God and showing her it's because he first loved us. And then she revealed, she goes, well, I'm still doing, and she named a vice that she's doing. I said, yeah, don't sweat it. She goes, what? Don't sweat it, man. You'll get sick of it. You'll get tired of it. It'll get to a point. Well, you'll just give it up. I said, as I read the Bible, and even reading here tonight, that God separated, Paul from his mother's womb. Well, that means he's a human being. That means conception starts at birth. And I said, when I just would read the Bible, I found out, and I was just sharing with her, I said, I found out that human life starts at conception. The Bible says so. And now we know even scientifically it does. And I said, it blew me away because I not only had family members who've gotten abortions, I've helped others get abortions. And I said, here I was a Christian, and I didn't think there was anything wrong with abortion. I just thought it was birth control. That's just the way that you did it. They're not a human being. And I'm still a Christian, still going to heaven, but I'm reading the Bible going, uh-oh, whoa, well, that's wrong. And then I just started showing it, and she goes, yeah, I do a lot of wrong things. I said, don't think that way. How many of your sins were still yet future that Jesus died for on the cross 1,980 years ago? All of them. She could answer that too. All of them. Even the ones tomorrow. I said, I'm talking about this relationship with God. It's grace and it's love. And I said, now I'm not like other Christians I know of that they resist sin or they resist their old vices and doing these things because, it would, and I kind of mock you a little bit because, you're just really soft to me. Oh, I can't do that. That would break the heart of God. Hey, praise God if that's you. That's not me. I'm follow the money. I'm like, you know what? I get totally blessed over here when I obey the Lord. I'm going to go over here. I'm just going to follow the blessing. I went from follow the money to follow the blessing. And then it just got to the point of like where people say, hey, let's go do this, whatever vice. I'm like, nah, I rather do this. I'd rather be over here. I'd rather show up to church early. Well, when we were setting up for church for Calvary Chapel Oceanside, it was the Armed Forces YMCA in downtown Oceanside. And so every Sunday morning, we get there early, and the bathrooms are really gross. And I would clean. I just took it as my responsibility, and I would clean the toilets. And there's a big mess in there with drunk Marines, and clean it all up and make sure. And that was it. And I had more peace in my life just cleaning toilets because they asked me the question. He says, "Well, how did you work out to being a pastor?" And I go, "I fell into this, man. I just started off reading the Bible and just doing things." I shared with them, I said, my vice is I used to lock myself into the church. I had keys to the church. They gave me keys to the church. They had to because I didn't need them anyways. But they found me in there a lot. We're just going to give you officially a set of keys. That's just how it worked out. But I would be in the church, cleaning it on Saturday night, back when we had a building there in Calvary Oceanside, and I would clean it till 2 in the morning on Saturday. Because that's in the state of California. That's when the bars close. Not that I couldn't get alcohol. I could at any time, but while I was in the church vacuuming, dreaming about getting drunk, I wasn't getting drunk. And while I was in the church vacuuming about many other vices and sins of mine and going, man, you know what I would be doing right now, at least I physically wasn't out there doing it. And that sin was just between me and God, and God worked on those things. And then over time, it was no longer a temptation. And just having Bible studies and sharing, I said, just like what I'm doing right there, I began to research more and do more and tell people more, and I'm telling people about Jesus, and I just ended up being a pastor. God just worked that way. There was no plan. Pretty much all the guys I ever knew who said they were called, they wanted to be a pastor, they're not pastoring. I just ended up here. That's really what it comes down to, because this is where God leads. And so here, about bearing one another's burdens, being able to come alongside them and to gently restore them. Now, I'll tell you, praise God, I was single for 5.5 years before getting married, so I had a lot of practice in this. And Kimberly could say to me, "How come you're patient and loving and caring for people here, but not me?" Well, because it says in the Bible, if you're married, you don't have to do these things for you. Where does it say that? I'm going to get the Ronco Bible. You could write in your own verses. Okay. I dated myself. Romp appeal. Okay. So But bearing ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. And then having, again, just, I mean, I thought I was probably the most humblest guy you'd ever meet, and I was proud of it. And, but then I get married and I realize, man, I am still selfish. And then you have kids and you go, man, I am still selfish. And then your wife gets sick for 12 years and like, man, why am I still selfish? And just, this is what I'm called to do. And yeah, I just ended up being a pastor because of everything that God had brought me, bearing one another's burdens. Will I always be picking up Kimberly from the bed and carrying her to the bathroom? Will I always be doing this for how many years and this stuff? And then trying to start a church and home educate three kids and go to college full time with my veterans benefits and learn to fly and do all these things and plant all these churches? And the answer is yes. Praise God. I mean, she's better now. But that's what it is. And then as my kids get older and stuff, and they're going through stuff, how do I not make life easy for them? Okay, but how do I help them bear their burdens and by showing them and teaching them and demonstrating and letting them exercise and grow? You know, feeling selfish and sorry for myself one time because we couldn't even. It was Kimberly's idea. She did dance her whole life and ice skating and stuff, and her whole thing was going to. She was a rich kid. I mean, anyone who had a dollar more than I was rich. So she had a family and she would go ice capades. And ice capades are coming to town and people are going to ice capades for church. I can't even afford working my part-time jobs, doing these things and going to school. I don't have the money for I can't even afford the free tickets because I can't even get the transportation there to take my kids and bemoaning. And then in the midst of my wife having all these illnesses and stuff and she's having a hard time. And literally, I mean, there was times when my wife was so sick. We both prayed, God, just please take her now. I'll miss her. But I just, it was hard to see her in this pain. And I wasn't praying that, you know, God, if you're not going to heal her, I mean, I've had those conversations. But I'm like, but I really would like you to heal her. And it didn't happen right away. Many more years. And that night that we were earnestly just calling out to God, and we, again, both praying and lamenting that, you know, we can't give our kids these things that we want to give our kids and stuff. And then she wakes me up in the middle of the night, and, honey, God just spoke to me. What's that? And she goes, we're right where we're supposed to be, and where God guides, God provides. I said, I know that, honey. I teach that. And she goes, no, you understand. God spoke to me and said, if we could provide everything we wanted to provide for our children, for their life, they would have no use for God. Or God spoke to her and said, he would have no use for me. Let them see your dependency upon me, and that's going to help them through the rest of their life. So literally, you know, and where this was prompted from is that my daughter, 8 years old, wanted these red high-top sneakers. And you kids have upset me because Chuck Taylor's Converse were the Payless shoes of the day, and you've made them trendy. Stay away from the Dickies painter's pants. She's made them trendy. She wanted these red high top Chuck Taylor's Converse. Honey, let's just pray for him. She goes, but Dad, look at these things. I got, honey, I don't have the money. I could if I would, but I don't have it. Well, let's pray for him. So that was Saturday night. Kimberly wakes me up that night. We go to church Sunday, and there at the building where we're meeting, on the Rossmore building, there was a free store. And whatever you had, you just sort of like how we do cert here. But it was for the whole building. And there, in the box in the free store, purple. No, they were red. They were red, high tops, her size, her shoes, put them on. I'm telling you, she remembers that story to this day. Where God guides, God provides. And others are like, did you go out and get the shoes and put them in there to make her think like God? And I'm like, no, that's what you do with Santa Claus. No, I don't lie to my kids. I'm like, I'm just, wow. You know, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Carrie, your prayers are awesome. Can you ask God for the lottery numbers? She remembers that too. And every joke, there's a little bit of truth. But, you know, if she was to give me numbers, I would have done it. But You see, this again, how can I bear with one another's burdens? Sometimes people come, man, I need prayer. I go, I'll pray for that, man. That sounds horrible. What kind of comfort is that? Well, that's just going to bring you to the Lord. The same God who brought red Converse shoes, the same thing that God has brought in our lives, has done these things. I just have a dependency upon God. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If any man thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Isn't there enough on your own plate? Husbands, wives, kids, young men and women with your parents and stuff. I mean, how can we complain about anyone or anything else, man? Isn't there enough? For every man shall bear his own burden. Have you done that first? Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I love when you share your emails with me, what you got in your notes, and the same way when it comes to home fellowships, and the same thing we do at NYG. What application do you have of today's message? You know, that encourages me. And for those of you who are home fellowship leaders or you teach Bible studies to somebody, whatever, that you communicate to those things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever so a man soweth, shall he also reap? And I'm able to share this with these two kids who come into my door and getting their product and stuff for the company they're selling for. But able to share with them. I said, because of your relationship with the Lord, you'll get sick of whatever that vice is. I said, but let me warn you about this. The very thing that you think that you're having a hard time with, you're going to give that up because you're just... And as I shared with her, I said, you know, as I would sit there and drink a beer and smoke a joint, and I would tell friends about Jesus, they would look at me. And they go, well, how's this working for you? Well, I'm going to heaven. You know, and so, but I was socially drinking and socially smoking. You know, it wasn't too excessive. So I could moderate, you know, 12 is my limit. Joints or burrs. But something, here's what changed. My friends were going to die and go to hell. And I was being selfish with my liberty. See, that's the whole thing. Stand fast in your liberty. And I knew enough of the Bible to be dangerous. And I realized I'm selfish. I have this liberty and this grace in God, and I know he'll forgive me, but my friends are looking at me. And it really, now I cared for my friends as long as there was something in it for me. But now something had changed is like, there's nothing in this for me. Because if I tell them, they'll, and many of them, as I stopped smoking and drinking, I'd still show up at the parties. And I began to care for their souls. That's how I ended up being a pastor. I'm looking at the souls of people whose lives are lost, and I'm, how can I be out there? Well, trust me, marijuana and beer, as I shared with this young girl, said that was the least of my concerns. As I have grown with Christ, there is sin he has gotten out of my life that I'm like, I've been doing that a long time. Because, well, we're here now. That's where I get your here now from. Well, we're here now. Now I'm pointing out to you this is wrong. And here's the thing that I share with you as I was sharing with him. So she was there for first service. This is second service. As I'm sharing with her and I'm sharing with him, and I'm like, listen, this it isn't because I find out these things are wrong. Don't look at it that way. That's not how I look at these things. I'm in this relationship with God and I want to please him. And God just pours out his blessing upon me. I'm a glory hound. I'm a blessing hound. I just want all the blessings of God. And unless I'm willing to surrender this, I'm not going to get what God really has for me. He has a plan and a purpose and direction for my life. He has got a better path for my life. But these things that I'm hanging on to that I think I need, that I have to be about, this liberty, man, when I set those things down and God just pours out his blessings upon me, I'm like, why did I stay so long with that? So I just share with her. I go, it's that grace and that love of God. You'll get sick of whatever vice that you have, but you're going to move on to something else. I mean, it was after being married for about a year, and God showed me this thing that I was doing was sin. In other words, not a sin that was sending me to hell, but sin that I was, and that's what the word sin means. I'm missing the mark and the path that God has for me. And I'm like, man, I've been doing this for years, my whole Christian walk. We're here now. Now what are you going to do? God says, I want this out of your life. I want this out of your life, not because it's wrong. You're going to heaven. See, that's the whole thing, Christian. You're going to heaven. You vomitous, carnal, flesh bag of pus, just like me, you're going to heaven. But this thing that Paul is dealing with here, and he's letting us know here about this grace of God, is that I want this for you. But if you want your will and you want to do this, well, you're going to go to heaven. It'll all get taken care of there. But do you care about your friends? Do you care about the souls of others? When people come to me and say, hey, I'm dealing with this and I'm dealing with that, how can I go and participate in that? Because when I know one of my flock is doing that, how can I participate in these other things and do these things that stumbles others, even if I might have a liberty to do that? Because now I care about the souls of others is why I don't participate and do those things. And because I care about the souls of others more than my own life, then God just pours his blessing upon me. I'm happy cleaning vomit off a toilet at the Armed Services YMCA. I have more peace in my life than all these other vices that I might have been thinking about in my head while I'm cleaning that toilet. But man, I got peace. And guys would ask me, you don't understand totally where I came from. And me cleaning the toilet and finding my family finding out about that, or other guys I was serving with, and that you're doing this and you're happy? I'm not happy. I got joy. What is that? I want to know more about this God. And then because I no longer have a joint and a beer in the hand, it was pretty bad, man. When it was close to payday and you're out of money, then it's Mad Dog 2020 and you're doing that as a Christian. It's not good. MD 2020. Anyways, let him that is taught in the word communicate. Be deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever soweth a man soweth, that he shall also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's what I want. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It'll happen. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto some people that you're okay with. Some lives matter, right? No, all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So believers and non-believers, but of those of the household of faith. You see how large letter I have written unto you? This is why we believe in Acts 23. We're going to see that Paul talks about his eyesight here. He talks about early in Galatians. You guys, if I become your enemy, you would have ripped your eyeballs out if you could have given to me if we had eyeball transplant back then. You know, have I become your enemy now? And so here he's like, hey, I'm writing this myself. See how, and as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution of the cross of Christ. Verse 12, read that over and over again, and read Acts 22 for this Sunday. How did Paul get caught up in this? He wrote this. He wrote this, and 10 years later, he's in Acts 22 doing something like, wait a minute, as many desired to show a fair show in the flesh, they're being circumcised. For neither them themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that you may glory in your flesh. So verses 12 and 13, Paul, how'd you get caught up in that? I'll share with you, because I've gotten caught up in stuff like that. And we're going to see some other verses through other letters that Paul has written that, like, it kind of explains what happened. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. That's my life verse. I got it tattooed on my leg. Just Galatians 6:14, not the whole thing. People ask me, what is that? And I say, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. He preached this. He taught this. He showed grace and liberty to the Galatians. He labored for them. He did all these things. And look, it says here, verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them and mercy upon them, the Israel of God. For henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already been beaten up, punked, left for dead, twice shipwrecked, all these things in his life. He's got the scars on his body. I'm just setting you up for Sunday for Acts 22. Why go through all that? And then you have an Acts 21, 22 moment. Oh, I get it. I got a doozy coming for you on Sunday. I understand that because I've gotten caught up in that. So I don't judge him and say, oh, how dare he? I'm like, oh, I totally get it. I totally get it. And as this person today was sharing their vice with me, I said, you're going to get sick of it. Because the more that you go to church, the more you get plugged in, increasing this relationship. You know, it's the whole thing. You'll get sick of it. And this thing about a relationship. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Keep your fingers here and share with me. Well, we're done with Galatians. Go with me to 1 John. Not the Gospel John. That's the long Johns. These are the briefs. All right? John chapter 1. I showed her this verse. First John 1, 9 is your spiritual bar of soap. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Christian, 1 John was written to Christians. Virtually everything in the Bible was written to the believers. Except Mark 1, 14. Where it says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent of your sins. And so here, this is written to Christians. Christians, when you sin. In other words, sin is an old King James term. It's an archery term. It's still used in archery today, I found out. Still is. You sinned. You missed the mark. You missed the bullseye. You sinned. You missed the mark. You missed the path. That's what it is. Now, a transgression is a willful premeditated disobedience of God's revealed word. That's why in Ephesians, he tells us you are dead in your sins and your transgressions. So we're covered there. But your sins, you will miss the mark. Maybe it's daily. Maybe it's every other day. You will miss the mark that God has for you. But here's the thing. Confess it. He'll deal with it. And then you're right back on that path. You're right back on that path. He's faithful, not us. And if we say that we haven't, well, you're sinning here today, so you need to confess that. Do Christians sin? Yeah. Do Christians miss the mark? I have this for you, God says. You can go this way, you'll be blessed. Or you can go this way, and I will bless you. That's how I'm doing church. I can do church the other way and get blessed. It's great. That could be a blessing to others. But I choose to be personal in each other's lives. And the thing that blew this young girl away, she goes, you're a pastor? And I go, yeah, here's my number. You obviously got my number now. You got all my information. Call anytime. Because she's going to a rather large church, and I don't think she's going to have access to the pastor. And then I gave her my email, and she's like, pester? You mean pastor? No, she checked. No. Yeah, I know your English is not your first language, but it's pest. Pestor. Why? And then tell me, oh. And then after getting in, she goes, I get that. We confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all righteousness. And so, it's by grace. Don't you want that? Don't you just want the blessings of God to be pouring upon your life? Well, then you make the decision. What are you holding on to? What's that thing that you have to have? Are you justified in it? What's that idol, that thing, that relationship, that person, that item or whatever that you think that's going to make you a better Christian? It's not. God wants a contrite and broken heart. Sacrifices he wanted. His mercy triumphs over judgment. And he doesn't want us to sin and miss the path. He has a perfect plan, purpose, meaning, and direction. And we have that. And that hour later, and they made a sale, and I was already going to buy it anyways. But that young believer walked out of there with an hour Bible study. And obviously probably more than she got at church. And she has some vices. And I'm not telling you to continue on in that vice. But because if you're going to grow in this relationship with God, just give it up. It's not worth it anymore. It's not worth it because the moment you're real, and literally, I could be one day token and guzzling, and the next day be totally right with the Lord, and he's just pouring out blessings on me. And I'm like, I don't get this. Isn't there like a seniority thing? Don't you have to put some time in? The moment you're real, God's real. And then I might go back the next day doing this thing, and then I'm like, this just doesn't have the same as it did before. I really liked what God had. I really liked what God had. And so it's just sort of like, and again, if you are, I can't sin because I break the heart of God and I can't do that. That's what the Psalms are all about. If I wrote the Psalms, it'd be like, go for the blessing, man. I switch, follow the money. Hey, follow, be under the spot where the glory comes out. That's what I would say. You know, remain in the love of God. Just be, that's what I'm like. I'm just here, man. I'm just here. So Lord Jesus, we're here now. If there be any here tonight that are struggling with your love and your grace, just your grace. There's nothing they can do. I'm already the best father and parent and grandpa there could ever be. So why are these peasants trying? Catch the sarcasm, right? Lord, it doesn't. I'm just a sinner saved by your grace, and I just want to be in love with you. Help me, Lord. Help each and every one of us through the power of your Holy Spirit to live that life that you have for us. And quit getting in the way. Do that work for us tonight, Lord. Thank you for forgiveness of sin. And for those who don't know you, save me, Lord, that they would change today and say, I want that. My prayer was like, God, make me like them. And I know what that meant. I became born again. So, Lord Jesus, man, that they would receive you, your finished, complete work on the cross. And the good news is you rose from the dead and we don't go to hell. We're justified in you, Jesus, not by our deeds. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.